Hello, everyone, and happy July. We're off this week, and I'm probably knee-deep getting ready for construction to finally start on my basement, which begins in about a week. Maybe by next break, I'll be moving back in. Big question mark there. We've got another episode of Never Been a Better Podcast in place of our normal podcast. Never Been a Better Podcast features a rotating crew of Austin Walker, Jeff Bacalar, Dan Reichert, and Abby Russell as they join me and Alex each month over on the Patreon side of things. This episode originally aired in January of 2023 and features guests Abby Russell and Austin Walker, and actually also features some nostalgic basement talk. It's also been slightly edited to include ad breaks. If you want to hear more Never Been a Better Podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/nextlander, where you'll find all the episodes and more. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll be back with the regular Nextlander podcast next week.
And then it went like...
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Never Been Another Podcast, and we are continuing with confidence into 2023. We nailed 2022, no challengers. Abby Russell, Austin Walker, Alex Navarro, Never Been a Better Podcast. Let's keep it
alive.
That's
not what you said.
It's also Never
That's
Been Another Podcast.
Never Been Another Podcast.
That's, the
That's
only
what you
one.
Said.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter the quality, it's all you got.
You have kicked into 2023 with a huge mistake.
We are, this is where I'm
it's
announcing.
It's doubly funny because you had the cadence of someone doing a State of the Union address.
Yes.
We are gathered here today.
No, this is where I'm announcing my, our spinoff podcast. Never Been Another Podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we going to systematically get rid of all the other podcasts? Because if so, I'm in.
Where are we starting?
We'll start at the bottom and work our way up. I feel like it gets a little tougher at the top there. Yeah. So nobody's going to miss a couple of little podcasts at the bottom there. Mm-hmm. How's everybody doing? Abby, let's start with you. How are you doing on Never Been a Better Podcast? I almost said it again.
You did. I could feel it there.
Yeah, could you? Yeah. Never. Now it's in my head. Never Been a Better Podcast. How are you, Abby Russell, 2023?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. 2023 mm-hmm. feels like a good year. Does. Also, if people heard, sorry for the crinkling earlier, my cat Tater Tot was playing with a loud toy.
Oh,
that's a good way to start the year.
So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yes. Austin Walker, how are you?
I'm good. It's
happy 2023.
It's been warm. It was like 62 degrees in my neighborhood the other day.
That's not good.
No, it's bad, actually. It's kind of terrible.
It's scary.
Yeah. But, you know, I went out in shorts, so that's fun.
It's like muddy around here because it's like it's been wet and like kind of spring like, but when I look around, I'm like, it should be snow. This should just be
January.
Snow. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. January. Like I'm pushing flowers back down with my fingers, being like, come on, man, not yet. You're just going to die.
Comes in like a lion, goes out like a lamb. That's what they always said about January.
It's very mild. Alex Navarro, at least I think in other parts of the country, it's terrible right now.
Yes.
But Alex Navarro, how are you?
Yes, no, in the Bay Area right now, it was pretty rough over the last few days in terms of storms. My parents were giving me updates on the wind and the rain because they're over 70. It's what they have to talk about. And thankfully, they no real damage up where they are. There was some flooding in the area, but...
They're getting it. It's a storm over there.
It's an atmospheric river.
Oh. Is that a real phrase?
I believe so.
An atmospheric river? What's that mean?
It basically just means that a big deluge of water is just kind of moving along a path in the atmosphere.
It's a Murakami book.
I'm not a meteorologist. Don't take my word for it. Please, look it up.
Wind Up Bird Chronicles, Atmospheric River.
Talking by the shore. Yeah.
Yeah, you've read it. Oh, you've read. I see. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Cheers. I poured myself too much whiskey, and I'm ready to do a podcast.
I got a Coke. I'm ready to burp.
I've got a La Croix.
Same.
Bubble.
Oh, okay. Cheers. Great.
Buddies.
Cheers.
To the new year.
Ooh. To the new year.
I already had a beer, so I didn't want to do another one.
Fair. We got to do a little cheers in person, like a little over a week ago.
Yes. We did. That was awesome.
It was the best.
Good seeing everyone. Made me very happy.
Yeah. Thanks, Abby, for coming out and making that big old trip. And thanks to Jeff Backlund for making that big old trip, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he had like 20 minutes. And thanks to Alex for hauling all of us in your car.
Yeah, you know, I keep telling you, it's not a big car, but you're always like, ah, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Small car.
We did, and we had seatbelts on, and it, like, the whole thing worked, and it was fine.
The best way to catch up with friends is to jam into the backseat of a car and have your shoulders at your ears.
Yes, shoulders at your ears, hands firmly in your lap, and then have your phone buzz and be like, oh, crap, this might be bad. Okay, I got to do a thing here. Like, I did the thing where it's just like slowly shoving my shoulder up as like the phone slips out of my pocket and then just flop it on the floor as if I were tied to a chair in some comic movie where I've got to like get the ropes undone.
We were hostages.
We were hostages.
Hostages
of a good time.
That's not a thing you can be.
No? Okay.
Disagree on that one.
I taught my kids the expression, don't threaten me with a good time, because it's one of my favorites. Abby, you've used that a lot. I always get a giggle when
you use it. I'll take it. I don't know if I have, but I'm going to now.
You definitely used it. I can hear your voice very clearly.
Yeah.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
I love that expression, especially because I feel like it's, maybe I'm just a sucker for it, but it always catches me. I'm never expecting it, and it always catches me off guard, and I feel like it's, so I told them to try it out at school.
Oh no.
Because I feel like I feel like it's a good one for the teachers. Like, hey, sorry, we're gonna have extra homework or
pop
something.
Quiz. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be like, don't threaten me with a good time. I feel like we'll like get a good chuckle out of a teacher.
Are you trying to give them like a Bart Simpson I didn't do it? Is that what you're trying to do for your kids? You're trying to give them a catchphrase?
I'm trying to work they need something to carry them through, you know? It's middle school. It's getting... lower middle school.
They got to write their own material, Vinny. You can't give them ghostwritten material. This isn't how you get through life.
It's just like, my dad said it would be funny. They're like, it's not funny. They said, actually, speaking of things that they are like cringing at, they said they have... in school, this kind of made me laugh because they're like, oh, it's so cringy, Dad. They are supposed to use things called, I think they said iMessage. And then my son corrected and said, they're iPhrases, not iMessages to my daughter. But if you're going to say, I'm having a problem with Alex, right? And you're the teacher, Abby. And I go to you and I go, Abby, like Alex keeps interrupting me while I'm trying to do my work.
It's Ms. Russell. How many times do I have to tell you?
We're in a progressive school. This is Miss R, he keeps interrupting me. And then you would be like, well, use your I phrases or I messages. And you need to say like, and go talk to Alex. Be like, Alex, I feel very uncomfortable when you interrupt me. It makes me feel whatever. And both of my kids were like, it's the worst. It's so bad. You just want to be like, Alex is being a jerk. Can you just please tell him to stop?
Is this your passive aggressive way of telling me that I interrupt you too much?
No. Alex, I feel very threatened when you interrupt me while I'm while I'm being extremely funny on a podcast.
Do you know that this is like a conflict resolution therapy thing? This is like a marriage counseling.
It does seem like good
thing.
Good.
It's not
set
wrong.
The foundation, but I've also heard people, especially children, be like, "Okay, fine. I hate it when you're a big jerk." And it's like, okay.
It's an odd phrase.
Yeah.
So, it's the spirit of the law, if not the letter of it. Yes.
Okay. So is it like a standardized thing?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
This is like straight up therapy.
This is straight up. Our relationship is on the rocks and we can't really get at our real feelings because they're buried under decades of irony and pain. And so you just say like, you know, well, you're so busy all the time. And instead of saying like, I feel like you're not prioritizing our relationship.
So like these kids are gonna come out so much healthier than I did out of like elementary school, and like when I talk to them, I'm like, well, I don't know, just ignore them and then 20 years from now look them up on Facebook and see how terribly they're doing.
I'd be like, yes, what else? That's a dump for me, baby.
Yeah, like what? I don't know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to put your head down, suffer through it, like bury it deep, and then hopefully, with any luck on social media, you'll be like, at least I'm not them.
in one way or another, just, you know, resent it for the next 25 to 30 years of your life. And hopefully by then it will have cleared up.
When in doubt, bottle it up.
I mean, the thing is, I feel like, I'm just going to hear myself say it now. on one hand, I do think that they'll come out better than we did, right? Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I think people are really good at adapting their neuroses to whatever discursive format is in right now. They will figure out ways to be jerks, to be passive aggressive, to, be mean, even inside of this framework. We are very good at that as people.
So. There'll be some horrible meme with the I feel this way thing that'll get passed around and be like, I can't use that method anymore because everybody just makes fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to be sincere.
Or it will become the way to be as mean as possible, right?
Yes.
Somehow. People are inventive. What generation is your kid? What is that generation
That's
called?
That's a good question.
Do they have one yet? They might not have made one up yet.
What comes after
Gen Z?
There's no letter after Z.
They're the Omega generation.
They're being called. This is bad. This doesn't make any sense. Wait, when were your kids? Don't say that out loud.
At post 2010.
Post 2010. Generation Alpha is what they're being called.
No, wait. So we passed the Omega already?
They're the Alphas. Generation Chad.
Well, this is the thing is, they're saying here that the next generation will be Generation Beta, which is just that's
even worse.
That's not going to be fun for them at all.
They don't have their name yet because I feel like they're going to be like Generation Congress melted down or something. Generation No Congress or their thing just.
Yeah, Water Wars.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Right. Yes. Generation Spike Shoulder Pads. Like they just have
Generation Mutant.
I never understood. Millennials, millennials came of age at the 2000s, not born in the 2000s, right?
No, not born in the 2000s. It's like early 80s through the mid 90s is basically that range. And there's a real overlap with like late X, early millennial, but it gets weird. And then late millennial.
I'm in that overlap category.
Right. Right.
I think I'm a late
Xer. You have it in you in that way.
Yeah, it's it's the generation that like has all the cynicism of Gen X but also remembers landlines and the internet as part of their childhood.
Right.
Abby, what are you?
I'm a millennial, Deb.
Okay, there's the handshake. Austin, are you also a millennial?
Yeah, I'm a millennial. I'm like dead middle millennial basically. So.
Okay.
I feel like I'm probably middle. Am I a young millennial?
No, maybe you're. Well, when were you born?
I don't know. When's the end of millennial?
Mid 90s. So I think you're probably even more middle than me. So
yeah, I'm 93.
Yes,
I think
more middle than me.
Millennials are like they're the big spike, right? Like there's a huge population of millennials.
There was the baby boom. Don't forget that. Well, they literally named the generation after how many damn babies there were.
Aren't millennials like on par with baby boomers for like number of like births? I thought like Gen X is tiny. Gen X is like the forgotten one. That's like, yeah, you and Kurt Loder, like go have a good time. But like,
wow.
Shout out to Kurt Loder. Wait,
yeah. Kurt you Loder slam on okay? Kurt Loder out of nowhere.
Has anyone checked in on Kurt Loder? Is he?
Who's Kurt Loder?
Oh boy.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
That should be
the demarcation line right there. You're no longer a millennial if you don't know who Kurt Loder is.
All right, Gen Z. What's up, fellow kids?
If I say the name Tabitha Soren to you, does that mean anything?
The lady who did that reality TV show about hair cuttery, her name was Tabitha, right? I don't remember
What was the name of that show? That show was great. I loved that show.
Tabitha Salon or something. I don't remember.
Tabitha Soren would be a good host for Tabitha Salon.
Oh, no.
Who's Tabitha Soren?
Her and Kurt Loder were MTV news anchors.
Yeah. Oh.
No. Kurt Loder is the guy who told us all VJs. That Kurt Cobain died.
That is correct.
Oh, really?
No, so not VJs. Yes. This is the thing. They were not part of the VJs.
They were journalists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't know MTV did that.
The baby boomers had like Walter Cronkite telling them like JFK had died, and we had Kurt Loder telling us that Kurt Cobain had passed away.
And Gen Z has the Logan, the what do you call them? Or is that what Logan
Pauls?
The Pauls, Jake and Logan Paul.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh gosh, no, that's
I don't
terrible.
Want. I don't want any of them
the news.
I don't want either of the Pauls to tell me that one of my beloved celebrities has died. That's not how I want to find out.
That is happening, right? Like, if you go back and look at the like the Black Lives Matter protests a few years ago, all of that shit was being filtered for a huge audience through the Jake and Logan Paul.
Oh. Like, yeah, they're genuinely. The one who broke the news that I'm forgetting her name. So this is jokes flopping. Whatever. Somebody died. It was going to be funny. Moving on.
Okay. Well, Abby, do you remember
the Queen Elizabeth? Was it Queen Elizabeth?
No, it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, RBG. Oh, okay. I was like, this is, I'm not getting this right.
Is he an MMA fighter now or a boxer?
One of them is. I don't fucking know.
Yes, one of them is doing boxing, and almost all of his fights are almost assuredly fixed.
This is present day Vinny again. We'll be back with more Never Been a Better podcast after this quick break. This week's show is brought to you by Factor. Alex and Brad, we are now officially, let me check my watch, in the summer.
The eating season.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll tell you what, in this household, we have a general rule, which is if the AC is on, which it has been on quite regularly because it's very hot, we do not put the ovens on for extended periods of time, which means our cooking options become a little bit more limited.
Well, what is a family like yours to do, Vinny?
Well, I don't know what the family's going to do, but I know what Vinny's going to do. Mm-hmm. And Vinny has the option to eat Factor. Oh, Factor?
Factor?
I hear you saying. What's Factor? Well, Factor are the meals that arrive fresh and ready to eat, perfect for any active lifestyle, or Vinny's lifestyle, during the summer and beyond. With 45 weekly menu options, you can pick gourmet meals that fit your summer gains and goals. Choose from options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more. And Factor powers your day, sun up to sun down. They have nutritious breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, premium dinners, and guilt-free snacks and desserts. Factor has your whole day covered. I've had Factor before. I have enjoyed both their meals and their ease of prep for the meals because there's nothing more valuable to me, sorry guys and family, than my time.
Fair enough.
The last time I'm sitting there over in the summer worrying about the ovens and the stove being on, the more quality time I can spend with my family and you guys. So thanks, Factor. And how can you get your quality time back? Well, you can get started at factormeals.com/nextlander50off and use code nextlander50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code nextlander50off at factormeals.com/nextlander50off for 50% off plus free shipping. factormeals.com/nextlander50off. Thanks, Factor.
Going back to the Queen. Yeah, oh no, please. Are we go still ahead. Talking about the
Queen? No, we can go to Queen.
Let's go to the Queen.
Well, I was in the UK like a month before she died. And I'm not going to say I wanted her to die while I was there. But I was like, this would be a pretty interesting experience.
Yeah.
If she died while I was there.
Yes.
I would have waited in that long ass line to see her
would
body.
You?
Oh,
would you?
Oh, yeah.
It was like a day.
Yeah. Okay. Who would you wait 24 hours in line to see the corpse of? If not the Queen?
My parents, and I think that might be it.
No, the sad, answers.
Sad. Why would you have to wait a day?
No sad answers. Well, no family, no pets. Well,
but then no one.
No one.
That's a valid answer.
Yeah.
Everybody else, fuck off. Like, if you don't mean, like, sorry to you guys, but I'm not waiting 24 hours.
If they were like, there's like an alien crash into earth and we're going to put the body on display because like it's decomposing.
You're really stretching the question of who? We found two hypothetical aliens.
Vinny wants to see a ghost.
We found Jesus's body. We're going to put it on display. If you want to check it out, you can come back. He keeps resurrecting, so you better get here. It's kind of feels
inhumane. Resurrects 4 times a day.
Come
every
check it
out.
Every
2 hours on the 15s.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm like a full day. I don't know, Abby. That's like a...
I feel like I would do it for the Queen. One, the experience. And two, if I waited in line for 24 hours, I would be so delirious. I would be in like such a weird craze that by that time I got to the end of line and saw her body, it would be like a religious experience.
Oh,
you know
it
what
totally
I mean?
Would.
I would be
yeah,
like, oh my
point.
God, she looked at me.
But did you watch the footage of it? Because it's not like you got to...
It's like they're moving the whole time, right?
They're moving the whole time. They like walk around the body. They go in the door, around the back of the body, loop around, and go out the other exit. Damn,
all right, what would you say on a like percentage scale that it was the real body on display?
Ooh, that's a fun question.
You'd have to get up real close to make sure.
Like, I'm going to say 65% it was. But there is a strong 35% it was not.
If it wasn't, do you think they killed another old lady? Or?
Yes. Yes.
Because she definitely had a double. Find another old dead British lady. There probably are some lying around.
I bet there maybe was a corpse that they put some prosthetic on or something that was just like, you know, because it's got to look from a distance. It's got to look. And then they're like, if anybody ever just ran up, was it in glass, you know?
I think it was.
My thing, though, is if they're going to bring in a real corpse and queenify it.
Do the whole thing.
I feel like then they must know, like, okay, we need to get this wax dead queen ready to go, like, before the queen dies. Right. That way they wouldn't have to kill an old lady.
Oh, yeah, there's, like, Madame Tussauds.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, you know, be like, all right. I mean, no offense to the queen. She lived a very healthy life. Like, she lived a long time. So. Oh, yeah. They had a lot
too long.
They had a lot of time to prepare, right? Like, they could have had, like, hey,
that's
the queen.
Abby's position. Abby wishes she died sooner. On the record.
I do not wish she died a month sooner. Uh-huh. But if she did.
Anyway, so, Vinny, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you take a, when you're in line, do you take like a selfie with the, like, with the queen's body?
Oh.
Like, is that what, is that, or are you, you're walking past, I mean, okay, there's a lot of emotional, you know, attachment. There's a lot of like, I just need to see her to let go. I'm sure that's all happening. But there must be people that are just like, I just kind of want to be a part of this, right? Like, I want to be in this line.
I would argue there might be even more of those people than there are the legitimate mourners at this point, because the actual affection to the royal family from like the population, there's a big age gap there, I'm pretty sure. And I don't think the younger generation has as much investment in the royal family as like the olds do. And so I think just about anyone there that is probably under 30, you can almost assure they're like literally doing this for TikTok.
was there any vandalism? You guys know? Did you hear about anything?
Someone drew a penis on the queen's face.
That one I did hear about.
Yeah,
that was
pretty
really
big
funny.
News.
No. I mean, that's like British humor.
Like, they probably find a way to execute you if you did that, right? Like,
no, Tower of London. They have it right there.
It's right there. The thing that there was people who would go to where the people were waiting and other places there were cameras and raise hell about the terrible hypocrisy and corruption of the royal family, the protection of, you know, sexual abusers, the burying of centuries of colonialism and exploitation. And those people got arrested. 100%.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah, they just
got marched out of there.
They just got marched the fuck out.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. So,
no execution, as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I know. As far as I'm concerned, it wasn't an execution.
I don't care.
It was a
sight out of mind.
But yeah, I think that those people just got, which is like, that's what they wanted in some way, right? It's like, that I only know about it because they got arrested. If they had not arrested them, I wouldn't have known, you know?
I just wonder, like, do you do that? Is the play to get near the body and then rip off the shirt, kind of like wrestling style?
NWO
that says, like,
under the
And
I'm
says,
like the kissing bandit. I'm running up there topless, and I'm gonna kiss that corpse before I am hauled out of there.
I bet there's some kind. I bet you like run towards it, and your body just separates into pieces because of some kind of like laser.
Oh yeah, it's like a fucking Resident Evil laser grid around it.
Yeah,
totally.
Just like you're like, yeah, you're naked, just like just blood splatter on the glass. Of the thing being like, well, he set it up for a reason. Like, we knew he was coming. We knew he said he was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I bet that they don't let you in with phones or something, but what if you just studied where the TV cameras were and like made direct eye contact with the camera
the whole time?
And that the whole time, and then like gave her bunny ears or like classic low key prank. Like, no one can get too mad at you. You're being kind of an adorable jerk. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I bet there'd be some real angry people. Some real angry people. You think?
I mean, there's probably at least one person listening to this being like, the queen was a saint.
They're disrespecting our queen.
There are definitely people listening to this for sure who are they called royalists? Is that
we're calling that from now on.
I think there's people who support the monarchy and like, you know, listen, I'm not, I don't live, I don't live there. I don't really know, but I will say she was what? 95,
I think.
I mean, that's old. A good life. That's
she
a good life.
She was old as long as I've known she's existed. You know what I mean?
And like Charles is 70 something.
Yes.
So like, so if he passes away, let's say,
he's going to have a cup of coffee in that monarchy.
Like, are people going to be like, we just lined up. I can't line up again. We just cleaned the horses. Like,
I do think people don't like him as much as they like Her Majesty.
I mean, she was around for 100 years.
So long.
Yeah, such a long time. The dude is just like a damp squib. Like, there's just not really anything about him that stands out. Everyone liked his wife.
Oh, yeah.
That's the kind of thing, isn't it?
Well, they make plenty of... he's a media star, right? Aren't there a bunch of documentaries that's the kids that they have the show.
Oh, there's
about,
all
right?
that stuff going on now between the brothers and all that shit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Man, what a... I mean, that's the other part of the monarchy, right? Is the drama and the
huge entertainment industry.
Yeah. The tabloids.
The main part of them, it's like their whole agreement is like, you pay taxes and then we let you take pictures of us whenever you want.
That's what we have here.
That's ours. Yeah. We don't have that kind of drama. Like we're definitely not.
Our political system is airtight.
Perfect. It's,
that car is running. I hear it. All cylinders firing away. That's why when we started this podcast, it's generation picking up. What do we say? Water collectors. Generation.
Water wars.
Water wars.
I do think the way this country sort of builds political dynasties, it could only be in a country that was originally made up of monarchists. Like, the way we treat, like, the Kennedys and, to a much lesser extent, the Clintons and the Bushes and what have you. I feel like that stuff is, like, a weird subconscious need to try and create a royal family out of a system that cannot support one.
Uh-huh.
But also, none of those families stick around for more than a generation or two because the kids always fucking suck.
The kids always do suck. I think humans just don't like change. I think humans just want like the thing that is, I'm not sure what the other thing is, but I recognize this name. So I'll let's go in on that because, change is scary. Change is scary because going the same is inherently the same. Right. So I just think,
uh-oh.
Yeah.
That is a statement, my friend.
As the great Yogi Berra once said.
Change is when things get different.
They call it the same because it's the same.
That's why they call it money.
Present day Vinny here again for one final ad break before we wrap up the show. I hope you're enjoying it. Never been a better podcast. We'll be back right after this.
Vinny, I have a question.
Yeah, please.
Is that blood on your shirt?
No, that is when I painted. There's red splotches on this shirt. It's not my blood. No, it's it's one of
the other guy.
Red.
You got to get your story together before
Vinny
we go in front of the judge.
Anyway, his whole basement's covered in tarps. I don't know what's going on.
You were down there. We didn't go all the way in.
No, I saw Vinny's basement.
Yeah, you didn't go to the kill
listener,
room. In the
wait,
back.
Time out, listener. I want you to imagine that you're us coming down the stairs to see
and me trying to hold you back.
You don't want us to come down.
Please don't go down there.
Polite to really put his feet down and be like, please don't go down.
The first thing you notice is off to the left, it's spacious in a way that you did not expect. The second thing you notice is the monitors. How many monitors are in your imagined Vinny basement space in your head?
Not enough.
Add at least one.
If not two.
Yeah.
If not two.
And think one. Like floor-to-ceiling monitors.
They like curve around you like a Decepticon in some strange way.
Do you remember that part in Swordfish where fucking Hugh Jackman's having a grand old time?
Yes.
It's, I like to have separate screens to monitor. You know, there's the two computers, and then there's the vMix machine, which has the vMix going on, and then I share another feed with Parsec to people who come in. Abby's been on the Parsec screen. Yeah. She shared that one. And then I have the other screen over here, which is a game I'm playing. And I've got another screen with a recording going. So, like, they get used up
pretty
quickly.
One for, like, the XCOM Council. And then you have one for, like,
That's over to my right. That's the one to my right. And then the left is, like, my trip security cameras over here to see if anybody set anything off 100 feet away if I need to hit the thermite and get through the secret door. Exactly. Yeah, sorry, stream's over, guys. The computer, the thermite's going to hit the hard drive in about 30 seconds. Everything's getting wiped. But it's a mess down here. We've got so much stuff down here because we're trying to get the garage in a place where I can use the garage when we redo the basement. So I have to move all my computer stuff. I got to move
all
the work.
You're going to
be a garage gamer.
I'm going to be a garage gamer. That's me. I'm going to be GG.
No, that one's taken, unfortunately.
Good old garage.
How long does it take to redo a basement?
So I don't know, but probably a long time. Like we have to get some major work done down here because, you know, water comes in down here. You guys saw it. It's like not finished. It's
not
a
just
concrete.
Water, though, from what I hear.
No, it's doo-doo. It's the
damn.
The water comes from water comes in, the doo-doo comes up. So it's we're getting it from all
it comes
ends.
Up. It That's doesn't come through pipes. It comes up.
Well, it comes like backs up or something backs up and comes up out of a pipe or wherever, you know, it wants. Yeah, listen, sewage is a mess. You know, it's a
it's another banger, Vinny. Sewage is
just like Yogi Berra used to say.
If you want a career, get into sewage and plumbing. Because
I'm
serious. Like,
hey, I think trades are good jobs.
Oh yeah,
always need.
Yeah,
trade
if you want to, be
some
employed,
are better than others.
Yeah, but if you want to always have a job and be employed, get into HVAC or get into plumbing. Because I'm telling you what. You have everyone.
Growth Industries.
You have everyone over a barrel when they call and they say, "I need you now. There's poop in my basement." Be like, "It's going to be $5 million." Just great. I'm going into debt. Just you need to. Can you solve it? Can you make it go away? And it always happens at the worst moment. It's always going to be like when you have people over. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Maybe they put their own little thermite charges as they do work. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. I'm the one putting the thermite charges in the plumbing. That's all me.
That's the Domino's pizza.
Yeah. That's me dropping the bombs. I feel like that's a. Listen, it's not a job I would necessarily want because. I don't deal well with that stuff, but if you can hack, I also don't want to be a doctor because I don't deal with it.
Right.
Well
with
yeah.
I could I'd be a bad doctor.
Those are the two jobs you wouldn't do.
Those are the two.
It's just the same plumbing.
Was there a job when you were a kid? You were like genuinely either this is what I want to do. And now you're like, why would I think that? Mm-hmm. Or one where you're like, well, if things go weird, I can always go do this.
When I was a kid, or when I was
like anywhere between 8 and 18.
Okay,
like before you had to like feed yourself,
actually figure it out,
or pay rent, or had bills.
Like before I realized what things jobs are actually viable.
This.
Okay. I wanted to be a zookeeper.
Ooh.
I thought, for a long, long time, I thought that would be awesome. Right, like you work with all the animals, you maintain a zoo. Now, if I think about being a zookeeper, it sounds like a bureaucratic nightmare of like, oh my gosh, this is impossible. How do you handle all these animals? You have to have, I wonder how many zookeeper, like who has zookeeper on a card?
Yeah,
nobody post 1920s, right? It's like, you know,
you would be in a Marx Brothers movie to be a zookeeper.
Yeah. Right, I'm taking you to the zookeeper.
You think you're also a lion tamer at the same time.
Yeah, so it's probably like a board and like just a business, right? Or like a whole thing with
I mean, yeah, stuff. But you need to be there are people.
A zoologist, maybe.
Scientists, there are, right?
Yeah.
Veterinarians.
And like dolphin trainers or whatever, right?
Yeah, I bet there are like zoo... I don't know if a zoologist is the thing, but I bet there are zoo sciences that you can study at certain schools that are like, here is how to run a zoo.
Shout outs to the AZA.org, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. Here are some current job postings.
Okay, Vinny, get your resume out.
Get ready, buddy. Exhibit Educator 1, part-time.
Okay. What are the requirements, does it say?
That's the one you want to go for? You
don't know. We'll keep going.
Let's see what else we got.
Start at the bottom, but okay.
Big money.
Birds Wildlife Care Specialist.
Okay, I can imagine what the requirements are there.
This next one, I'm guaranteed you could do this next one. Guest engagement, seasonal. That's just talking to people.
Are you a zoo greeter?
You're a zoo greeter.
Zoo greeter? Okay.
Manager of guest engagement.
Okay, maybe I'd rather go for that one. Okay.
There are things here like primate keeper. You'd be zookeeper of the primate.
You have to click through that one. I need to see how many years of experience you need.
You need 2+ years of comprehensive primate experience.
That's it?
How do you get that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Where's the entry level primate experience?
I bet you take a general like cage cleaner, and that technically gives you primate experience because one of the cages you clean is primate cages.
Yeah. Again, back to the waste.
Back to the waste.
That's right.
There's always a need.
That's exactly right.
I find primates scary.
You could be the first mate of the Shed Aquarium or the deckhand. There's some boat stuff here.
Uh-huh. Okay, am I wearing a paper hat at this point?
That's right.
Wait, what is, real quick, Abby, what is it that you find scary about primates?
They're smart and strong. Terrible combination.
I mean, they're dexterous.
Yes, they shouldn't be trapped in a cage. They're too smart for that. And yet we do it, and they want freedom.
Or they just want what's in your backpack.
Yeah, either way.
You could definitely look at like a primate and they will look back at you and be like, I know exactly what you've done to me.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, it wasn't me. I'm just a guest service.
Oh, you're just enjoying
greeter.
What was done to me? That's what you're
I just greet the people. Well, I'm working with on the inside. That's why I got this job. We're getting you out. I've seen, was it Project X? What was the one with Ferris Bueller? What's his name?
Matthew Broderick?
Yeah, Matthew Broderick.
Are you thinking of the Godzilla from 1998?
What's the one where they're testing all the they're testing out on the monkeys and they're testing the radiation out, and it's like a really sad movie, and it's got he saves the monkey at the end.
Project X. I see it. There he is. He's smiling on the cover.
Here, let me
Isn't
rewind.
Is there another movie it's called like, Project X?
It's like Congo, and you're and she's and she's a, Amy Love Vinny.
Right, yeah.
Amy Love Apples.
That's Congo. Yes.
That's Congo.
The other Project X is a teen party movie. From 2012
with Matthew Broderick. Also,
it's one of the X trilogy or whatever that just came out. The Mia, what's her face?
Like Pearl?
No, that's something else.
Really?
Is that Vin Diesel?
There's another different X
that
just came out that's not connected to that?
Well, no, I'm saying that the Project X I was talking about is not connected to those.
Okay. Yeah, I guess
okay,
not.
Okay, great. I'm glad we've solved all
There's
the
There's a
X's.
Lot of X movies.
Abby,
I don't know if you know that.
What job did
not
you want?
Not as many as there used to be.
What jobs did I want?
Yeah.
As a kid? Well, for a while, when I was little, I wanted to be a surgeon. But I was like, all of my imagery of doctors was like in hospitals working crazy hours. So I was like, okay, I want to set my hours. So I want to be a plastic surgeon. So imagine little 10-year-old me being like, I'm going to be a plastic surgeon.
You had a real like quality of life minded vision of your future.
Yeah, why? Very healthy, like very like, I want to be secure and I want to have good hours.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I know... Maybe you did or did not have this in your mind as a plastic surgeon 10-year-old, but like that's like one of the scariest things, like one of the most there was like a channel that had plastic surgery videos on it once, didn't it?
Like
oh,
TLC
no,
always
really?
Has like
yes.
all the yeah, I was that was that's what made me want it was like I loved all the surgery
oh,
videos.
The
propaganda
works open, huh?
Oh
the
my
propaganda
gosh.
Propaganda works. They were converting
terrifying.
Young 10-year-olds into plastic surgeons.
I mean, they are kind of terrifying, but it's surgery. I don't know. People wound up okay in the end.
I think for me, it's just like anything like where you're moving someone's face around, it just like gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like,
I don't want that responsibility.
Right. Yes. Be like,
look, I didn't become a plastic surgeon. To a certain degree, I'm with you.
Yeah, weird. You became a comedian instead.
You make them smile other ways.
Oh. You were always going to bring smiles to faces. That's good.
Right. There you go.
Oh, God.
There's a Joker thing in here somewhere.
Waking up from plastic surgery with a forced smile.
Mm-hmm. Be like, there's the Joker
thing. Got it.
Alex, do you have a career that you were thinking about?
I mean, when I was a little kid, before I understood anything about how the world worked, I was very convinced I was going to become a rock musician.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wait, I feel like that's the most Alex Navarro.
I didn't get paid shit any of the times I was doing that. I was never a pro.
No, but that adds up to me.
Yeah, like you love music, you're more a rock musician than I'm a zookeeper.
But it's not my job.
No, but you've kept.
Have you ever gotten paid to perform music?
Or maybe a rock band?
Yes.
Because Abby hasn't gotten paid anything as a plastic surgeon.
And I keep doing it anyway.
That's right. Fair. Good job, yes.
I guess technically I did get paid a salary to perform Rock Band for press people at various times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And on charity streams.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. You were salaried.
Okay, I guess that almost counts. I could go back to my child self and say, okay, look, it's not the way you think it's going to go.
That's
but
right.
You've
played the drums in front of 100 people before.
Yes.
You know?
Played the drums in front of 1,000 people before.
Yeah.
I didn't want to jump to 1,000 because
I'm going to go there.
You played the drums for millions of people.
Aerosmith.
Yeah, I guess I am Aerosmith then, aren't I?
Yeah, you're right, I am. Yeah, you did it.
Awesome. No, I guess, if you're counting like the Rock Band like stream views, yeah, sure, we might have gotten into the thousands.
Yeah.
I'll agree to that.
Oh, you definitely, for those, 100% gotten into the thousands.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah.
Millions, but I don't think I ever played for 1,000 people on an actual instrument in a band.
Listen, it's 2023. I don't even know what that means.
You got time.
I don't even know. You have instruments in a band, real people, what?
Even when I opened for Run DMC, it was less than 1,000 people there.
Wait. Was Run DMC upset?
What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. Even when I opened for Run DMC.
Is that real?
Okay, look, we got on because the booker of the show was in my band.
That's the way it always works. That's how it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, so it's Run DMC like...
It was all of them. It was not like there wasn't a fake DMC. It was all three of them.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was the 90s version, so it was like not as good, but they were still Run DMC.
Still
they still played
Run
the songs
DMC.
You wanted to hear.
Yeah.
On that one.
Forget it, Alex. You did it. You just you got us. Yes, you wanted to be a rock star and you were a rock star. Okay, great. Now
the crowd didn't think so.
But that's what being a rock star is.
Yeah. You're sticking it to the man.
If the crowd liked you, you'd be a pop star.
Mm.
Wow.
You like that?
Good.
That's good. Yogi Berra said that. Austin, you got one?
I really, as a kid, was like, I want to go to space. I'm going to be an astronaut.
Like high school.
I think I've told, I went to space camp and then there was a hurricane. It was a whole thing. Have we not had that conversation on here?
Well, it might have
maybe
been
not on here.
It might have been on an off Abby. It might have been another podcast.
Another podcast. But the one that I was always like, I could just do this, was priest. I was like, I could be a priest. It'd be
easy.
Are
you religious?
I was very Catholic as a kid. I went to Catholic school and like was very like...
Sure, in the system.
Being a priest is you read a lot, you say some words in front of people, I'm good at speaking, I could help people out. I had a very optimistic view of what a priest was when I was 8 or whatever, right? Obviously, not a thing I pursued. But there are parts of it that I still think are like, likes to hear yourself speak, is a huge nerd.
Uh-huh.
You know?
So. Also, I mean,
likes books, very
likes
big.
Books,
one,
yeah.
Like one particular book, but you know.
I will say the idea of nunhood, similar to like joining the army or something, it's kind of nice to be like, I'm going to do this thing and I'm never going to have to make a decision ever again. You know what I mean? Like,
I still have that thought every once in a while. I was like, I can be a monk. I just disappear right now and go devote myself to some shit that I don't know that I believe, but like, yeah.
There was something about the priesthood to me that always seemed just like calming. Like there's a, Like, I think you guys said you have a purpose. I think the problem, and I guess this has kind of played out in a lot of the, at least the Catholic priesthood, is that there is a lot of internal conflict, but the idealized version is there is none. You've given yourself to God. You know exactly what you're doing day in and day out, and there's never any doubt. You just are up there spitting the gospel, and it turns out maybe there's some conflict or some...
It turned out that I did not have the worst type of Catholic priest growing up, but I did have the type that was embezzling funds from the underfunded Catholic school that was attached to his parish.
Boy!
Oh my God, taking it from children!
Literally. Boy. And, like, I want to be clear, the school did not have... You know what I mean? It was This was not like we had... There was, like, an Apple II in 1995 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like...
Yes.
This wasn't rich kids Catholic school.
No,
that's rotten.
Yeah, he sucked.
Was he a good priest?
No, he was also like my least favorite of the priests at that. Okay. Yeah.
Because he didn't have enough time to study the Bible. He was doing all that embezzling. Takes up all your time.
Yeah. Studying the books.
Wait, do you and I both have embezzling school stories?
Yeah, what was yours? Wait.
The first elementary school I went to, which was a private school, but not a religious school. After second grade, I was like, expecting to go back there in third grade. And then during the course of like the summer between school years, there was an announcement that like, oh, the school has no money left. And then like not long after that, someone in the like whatever the parental governing body was of the school had embezzled like all the money from the school, and so that school was gone by the time third grade came around.
Oh my gosh.
Jesus.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well,
that's how it goes.
So I had to go to public school.
There you go.
School went bankrupt.
That's wild. Man, I gotta embezzle.
No.
Don't say that. No, don't say that on the microphone.
Yeah, no, there's literally evidence of you saying it now.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's
okay. People who are paying, they know. They're enabling me.
That doesn't mean it can't be submitted as evidence.
No, we're good.
I don't even know how to embezzle. That's wrong. I was like, what? Like, you just fake
access to funds.
I think the thing that I've learned in my time working for companies, some more disorganized than others, is that if you're confident and you really want to, you probably can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think I've seen stuff where there's not really a ton of like checks and balances in companies. And if you're just like, this is what I do, this is part of my job, people won't question too much. People don't double check shit.
No.
Anyway, not actually embezzling, I want to be clear.
No,
but I can see how it can happen.
Yeah.
No, we clearly can see from your lifestyle you are
also you don't work for anyone.
Yeah,
you
can't
embezzle from anyone but yourself.
From my Twitch subscribers.
Are you embezzling from your cat?
Yes, Tater Tot. Don't listen.
You're shaving about 25% of their food off the top.
Yeah.
Tater Tot has a successful Instagram account, but you manage all the funds.
Exactly. You get this cut. Don't you worry.
Like at big companies, like say, like a CBS, let's say, or CBS Interactive, everybody's like so just trying to get by and do their job and do their thing that, yeah, totally. If somebody were just like, hey, you got that, I'll take care of that thing for you. Be like, oh my gosh, thank you so much.
And but if you get to a big enough company, you can disappear into it. I knew someone who was at a huge startup, one of those companies that was like huge, like mid-2010s.com boom. I don't want to even get close to saying who it was or where they were. There were huge layoffs there, and this person got missed in the layoffs and missed in the layoffs for like 8
months. Like the guy from Office Space?
Literally.
Getting paid, but
was getting paid. Was the only person left on their team. had been told to just sit and wait for a follow-up because it was one of those things where it was like, are they going to move me into a different role? Are they going to eliminate not just my position, but me? And then they never did until they got a new job like 8 months later. And they
did they just keep their head down?
They just kept their fucking head down.
I would have just been like,
I think the guilt started to get to them at
the company?
And it was like good pay.
But after they got incredible. Another job, did they notify them that they are quitting?
They did. Okay. They said, hey, I just want to check in and see, like, I'm not on any projects right now or whatever. And they were like, you stay right there. This was also during, this was also like remote work. So it's not like they had to go in and sit anywhere even. It was just a check. So the company sucks. The company sucks. So like, I don't feel too bad about what.
No, it's a company. Never feel bad about a company. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's my thoughts. I'm real anti-company. I'm not a company.
Yeah.
They aren't looking out for you.
No. It's the company you keep, not the company you.
Exactly. Don't fuck over your coworkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also, don't treat the company like a person, because they won't treat you like a person. You're a freaking number to them.
Oh yeah. I like it. Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully you're a number they forget about after a while.
That's right. Just keep paying you. Keep the checks coming.
Yeah. At least the health insurance.
I love that this person pulled a JTG. They just fucking, they got to like ride the wave and not do any work 100%. For
it was great.
That is the other place you can do that is in pro wrestling. And it's like one guy every 10 years gets to do that, where they just get to get a paycheck for like 3 years straight and never appear anywhere or do anything.
They don't get cut loose, but they don't get used.
Wait, really?
There are pro wrestlers occasionally, especially at WWE, which is a giant company that has a roster of like, sorry, Dan's not here. This is going to be a very brief wrestling segment.
I'm already yawning.
But I'm just saying, they're, because they have like, you know, 200 plus wrestlers on the roster at any given time, usually there's some people they're not using. And in this one wrestler's case, he was on the roster, did not appear on TV for at least 3 to 4 years, I think.
Oh, wow.
But was collecting a paycheck every single, like every month.
And, you know, he wasn't getting t-shirt sales, probably.
No,
right.
So, like,
he was getting enough to survive on, but, like, he wasn't getting, yeah, like, obviously he wasn't being used or promoted.
Was he traveling with the company?
I think occasionally.
So funny.
And that man's like, name was John Cena.
John Cena. Just
no,
waiting for his
getting
big break.
Those t-shirt sales.
Today, my career, if I could pluck a career, like, out of a thing, would be, like, some magnate that makes like a part that works in a urinal that you'd never heard of, but just like needs to be in everything. And it's just like, oh, and you just read about me as some donor to some political party one time. It's like, oh, this company donated $800 billion to this thing, and be like, who is this guy? Oh, he makes like a plumbing piece that is used in every single toilet in the, you know, in the world. And it's like,
but he doesn't, his grandfather actually did. Yeah, he just collects the royalty.
I just collect the money.
Yeah.
And like that, or like just like some process that's used to put chrome on something, and it's like, oh, they need this thing. That's what I like. Some
chrome
dumb
the
thing.
Physical thing, not chrome the piece of software.
No. They're like, great to chromium, chromify something. That's what I would want to do. Like with my like Texas billions or something, and just be like, what do you do? It's like, you got a toilet at home? Yep. Then you know my. Then you know me.
You do what I do.
This is like you know thing me of like, well.
There are only like 3 or 4 zipper companies in the world that are like of any substantial size.
I own YKK.
You own and, YKK. Yeah, exactly.
That's it. That's the only way I buy my clothes. I look for the zipper, and that's if I know they go YKK, I know they go quality. That's it.
Not me. I want to be the zoo animal manager, Sea Lion Cove. At the Fresno Chaffee Zoo. That's me. That's where I'm going if I can stop.
I kind of want to follow up on this whole thing in like a year and be like, go there and be like, so you took the job. See, you took that job, huh?
Also, oh my God, putting sea lions in Fresno. That's a crime.
Aren't they
that
in
is
Fresno
a crime.
Already?
There's no water in Fresno. That's not where they naturally go.
Wait, is Fresno landlocked?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's the Central Valley.
All right. I really don't know. I thought it was like near San Francisco.
Why don't you just put a fucking fish in the desert while you're at it?
Oh, I bet there's an aquarium in Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm sure, but at least they're in the water.
Did you guys see that horrible...
The huge thing that busted in Berlin?
In Germany,
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, man.
What happened?
There was this giant in like a hotel. It was like this giant... tube. It was like the biggest freestanding aquarium or something.
Yeah.
And then it exploded, and thankfully it exploded like in the middle of the night, so it didn't, I don't think it killed anyone. I don't think it hurt too many people either. The fish, all
are you saying
all
fish aren't people?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Are you saying the fish are not people?
Fish.
That is what she's saying.
The fish are in heaven.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
They're with God now.
Yes.
If I were a priest, I would insist that animals go to heaven. If the Pope wants to get rid of me, fuck him.
If I were a priest, I would keep up the myth that all animals go to a farm in Connecticut.
Okay. None of them die, actually.
No. All the fish Jesus are on that farm there now.
I bet when I read about that story, I was very sad for all the fish because that's tragic and glad. I think there might have been some injuries, but I don't think anybody died.
That aquarium design is a mess. That's weird freestanding thing in the middle of this giant round room, that just seemed like begging for trouble.
But that's the thing is like, yes, right? And it's like, the whole thing is like, look at this. It's begging for trouble. But then when it breaks, you're like, you can't. We called your bluff. It's like physics called your bluff. You're like, you can't get away with it. But I bet somebody was like, you know, like when they demolish buildings, you're like, we need to film that for like this movie because we could never do this in real life. We can never really blow up a building. Too bad like nobody was like, hey, we're going to get rid of this aquarium. Like, oh, great. We have a Bond movie to shoot.
As is the Tom Cruise wants to be inside of it when it blows up. Mm-hmm. Put me in there. Yes.
They're actually just going to launch him 120 miles an hour into the aquarium.
Put
like a bullet.
Every new little thing he does, like he's going to die doing one of these little promotional clips.
I was just talking about this with somebody at New Year's where it was like, for the amount of money for Tom Cruise to do a stunt in Mission Impossible, just cut that part and just give it to me. And right. I would give me the $700 million that you spent to build 18 freaking ramps to go have him ride a motorcycle off of 150 times. And just, it's like 2 seconds of the movie. Just do it in CG and give me $700 million.
But that's not. No, because you know what? Okay, look, I'm not here to defend Tom Cruise. Uh-huh. He's the mouthpiece of a cult. Let's be clear about this. But
first and foremost,
the man is a born and bred entertainer. And that man's vision of entertainment is this is a human body being put through rigors that it should never be put through with a maximum amount of safety money being put into it to make sure that I don't die. And I am going to do 35 Halo jumps just so I can do this one motorcycle off a cliff. And that money is going to be on the screen. You are going to see me doing that.
For 20 seconds.
You're right. That's the thing. It's no.
That 20 seconds is what gets butts in seats,
baby. I will say, I am a big proponent that stunt people need work too. I don't think it's cool when actors do their own stunts. But I have seen some Tom Cruise movies. There's one. I don't remember, some kind of Mission Impossible, probably. He's riding a motorcycle, and his little knee hits the pavement at one point. It's like, oh, shit, he's really riding that motorcycle.
Yeah, he's
and
really
it was
that.
Pretty fucking cool, I gotta say. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm here for this.
What can you do? But yeah, the two that what I just linked was the some sort of big motorcycle jump that he really does off of a fucking cliff and then, like, a last-second parachute. And the other one, the one that made me upset to see was him standing on the like cockpit of a World War One biplane, being like, hey, it's me, Tom Cruise. I'm out here filming movies. I'm just going to stand on this fucking plane and like, no, sit down.
You don't have to do this.
Here's what I'm going to tell you right now. He will die in one of these stunts eventually. And that stunt as filmed will be in the movie.
Just him in a propeller.
He has it in a rider.
Just
like,
his death will be on the screen because to him, the money is on the screen. And if that his death is what's going to bring the money in, he will put it on the screen.
I can make it through those helicopter blades. I can time it.
I can make it.
I can do it. I can do it. You can't do it, Tom.
I just have to sink my bloodstream to it.
My heartbeat. By the power of Xenu. And he's just off.
Abby, I need you to look at just the final, go to like 105 in the plane one, because there's a moment in it that freaks me the fuck out, and I'm sure it's fine.
105.
I'm sure. Yeah.
He's saying stuff. He's like,
I'm Tom Cruise!
I'm Tom Cruise!
This is the real risky business!
Here we go. And then what? Uh-huh. Oh, he's turning! Oh my god, no! 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 Tom, no! He has so much to look for!
I'm sure you're not. I'm sure it's like a roller coaster momentum thing. I'm sure it's fine. But no!
He's strapped in or something. Does he just have a little hand hold?
I don't know.
Can you imagine if he died not even filming something for the movie, but filming a promotional for the
movie. Like for a thing that's like exclusive to Regal Theaters as like a pre-trailer thing.
Next time you want to see Tom Cruise get hurt, get here 20 minutes before the movie.
When Nicole Kidman did this, all she had to do was sit in a theater and look glowingly at the screen. She didn't have to do this.
That's because she's a gift, you know?
Yes.
He's like 70?
No, he's in his 60s.
70?
He's not 70.
Is he the age of King
Charles?
He's still
in his 60s.
Look up how old Tom Cruise is. Maybe 67?
I'm on it.
Okay, and also look up how old the king is.
He's exactly 60.
Also, is this accurate?
He is 60 from, he is this year, well, yeah, July 3rd, 1962. Okay. So he's been 50s for this whole run of
okay.
MI movies, basically. Well, not the first two, but first three.
Okay.
I guess,
well, 60's pretty good. He's doing well. Good for him.
He's got Hollywood money. He can stay young for a while.
Yeah, he's got a good. Did it go to you? Did you ever come into?
Yeah, I see Abby him all Russell's? The time. You know, we're in a couple of improv classes together.
Oh, that's good. You pick up anything from you?
Yeah. Teach him anything? You know, I took him under my wing, but yeah, he's going to show me how to do a plane stunt later.
You ever put him under the knife? Give him a little tuck.
Keep him high and tight.
Oh, like a Brazilian butt lift.
Wait, is that a real thing?
Oh, God, Vinny. Yes.
I don't know what it is, but I assume it's fantastic. Astronaut, though.
Yeah. Astronaut.
Idiots can do that one.
You think astronauts? Okay. Real question.
Ooh.
Real question.
Not like these other fake questions.
Not like these other fake questions like, oh, how do you want to make a living? No, real question. You think astronauts have like some kind of cyanide pill thing, like when they go into space? Is there some kind of like you're trapped in orbit, like that they don't talk about?
Be surprised. I bet they don't. Because
you bet they don't.
I bet they don't. Because if something's gonna go wrong, it's just gonna go wrong. And I think also scientists or astronauts are probably very much trained to, if something's going wrong, I'm gonna do everything I can to fix it. Right. Even if that will eventually kill me. Also, the bigger thing is the weight on sending stuff out to space is like so carefully managed that I don't think they would waste it on comfort items like a pill to make
like
side die. Pills. Yeah,
it's comfort item. You know, like the.
I mean, but you know,
I get it.
I'm gonna vote yes because I'm gonna put my fears in there of doing a spacewalk and getting like ejected and being like, I need to clamp down on a molar right now because they're not getting me as I drift away. Like,
do you think it's specifically for when you leave the shuttle or the station?
I don't know. I wonder if that's a thing that's like, yeah, of course, yes, we have that in case of something, but like we don't really talk about that. We talk about getting on a ham radio and talking to, you know, people up in here in the space station.
Do you think that there are any astronauts who listen to our podcast?
Yes.
I hope not.
At least
any, really?
I hope not. Oh, yeah. Future astronauts, past astronauts.
Future astronauts.
Oh, my God. I would be thrilled.
If you're the sort of person that is, you know, literally in space or going to space, you don't need us filling your idle hours. Yeah, that's you have better things to worry about.
They need to hear about our takes on the Queen.
Somebody sitting there on the launch pad going, like, are you taking this seriously? Oh, sorry, she just said she wanted to be in England when the Queen died. I'm sorry, what did you say? We're at 5, 4. Okay, here we go. Yeah, like, AirPods in, like, ready to go.
Someone on the International Space Station literally just listening to us ramble about fucking Tom Cruise and his stunt work.
Like, somebody, they're, like, talking to a school and it's in the background playing. It's just like...
I do love the idea that the people who listen to our podcast... never stop listening to our podcast.
All they do.
All the time it's playing. Yep. And they can't escape it.
Yeah, why not? You gotta listen to something up there.
Yeah. Right? If there are any astronauts out there, wave to me from space. I wanna know you're listening.
They're
I love
doing
space.
It right
we
now.
Can take me with you.
Yeah. Just put on a little flashlight and beam it down real quick. We'll see.
They need a comedian in space. I can make space content. I'm a fast learner. I can
you're healthy.
First content creator of space. First space fluencer.
God, what if you went up to
space fluencer, that's good.
And you were there and like aliens showed up and you were the first contact.
I'd be like, human. What up, gamers? Hey, you guys listen to the only podcast in the world? Is that what you call it? The only podcast in the universe?
Never been
another podcast.
They come to the one space station that's basically our TikTok hype house in space.
And they just come in there. They just come and they're like listening. They're like, "You suck at Bloodborne."
Oh, shit.
Be loud and leave. And be like,
I got bodied.
Learn to parry, noob.
That's right, noob. We just we flew 8 billion light years. Just we had to tell you. And just peel out.
You're building this character wrong.
Yes.
It's truly the worst outcome if they are gamers. That would really fuck everything up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this doesn't ever come up in alien fiction of like the aliens show up and they just kind of suck a little. Like they're not enlightened. They don't have any like real, they have like enough futuristic tech to have gotten here, but they're mostly like annoying cousins, you know?
You should hear our views on Palestine.
I've imagined that there's like if aliens were coming through now and they got close enough, they'd be like, oh fuck, they're in their like social media phase. We gotta go. We gotta fucking they haven't destroyed each other yet. We'll come back around.
We'll see
do
how it wraps up.
Yeah. We've been here. This fucking sucks. This part sucks. And they just like peel out. All right, we should wrap up.
We're a little over on time.
Yeah, we're recording on a Saturday night. Those astronauts
no podcasts,
have things to do.
So we had to fill in the gap.
Because they listen to it all the time too.
It's on loop. It's constantly on loop.
Like a number station.
Yeah, they know it's like one of those switches where like if Houston hears the podcast go down, they know something has happened to the space station. Just broadcasting on loop. Thank you, Abby Russell, for joining us here on this Saturday night. Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you
your
for
time.
Having me, Vinny.
Yes. Austin Walker, there has never been another podcast as good as this one. Never been a better podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
And Alex Navarro, thank you for joining us, and I'll see you on Monday.
Yes, you will.
For some more Nextlander fun. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back with Never Been a Better Podcast next month. See everyone.